So this morning we're continuing our series in the book of Psalm, and I'm picking it up in Psalm chapter 40. I'm picking it up in Psalm chapter 40 this morning. And Psalm 40 is probably my second favorite psalm. A couple weeks ago I got to teach from Psalm 23, and Psalm 23 is my all-time favorite psalm. And Psalm 40 is a real close second. Psalm 40 is a real close second because I love David's language that he uses in this psalm. I love that David was somebody who knew and understood that it's okay to express your frustrations. It's okay to take things to God in prayer. It's okay to know and say, hey, God, I need you in my life. And that's exactly what David does. But I also love something about David that he does in this, because he does it from the very first verse says that he waited patiently for the Lord. And I love the idea of waiting patiently for God. This idea that we run around and that we can go to God and that, you know, we so many times, I'm going to get so derailed, Richard, it's not even funny. So many times we jump around and say, God, 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 I need you now. I need you now. But instead, David does something that teaches us the complete opposite. David says, I know I waited patiently for God to respond. How many times in our prayer life do you go to God and say, God, 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 I need you now. Where's my answer? Where's my answer? You grab your Bible and you rub it three times, hoping that a genie's going to pop out. That's what we've made God to be. That's what a lot of modern Christianity is. Where's my answer? We've stopped waiting patiently for God. And it's in the moments that we aren't waiting patiently or that we don't wait patiently that we jump to conclusions on what the answer might be. Are you patient with your prayers? Are you patient with your prayers? Because a lot of us, I would say, aren't. A lot of us aren't patient when we pray. I know that I'll be the first one to confess to say that most times when I pray, I want an answer right away. Amen. I want an answer right away. But God never promised that he would give you an immediate answer. He does promise that he will answer. He does promise that he is there. He does promise that he does want to seek relationship with you, that he does want those things with you. But he never said that he would answer right away. Sometimes instead of being patient, instead of waiting for what God wants to say, sometimes we rush looking for an answer. But the psalm comes across as a psalm of desperation, a psalm of endurance, a heart's cry. David saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to be a part of this. I need your help. I need your comfort. It's a heart's cry. And that's what your prayer is. When we pray, so oftentimes our prayers are the cries from the depths of our heart. When we were in Espanola, my heart's cry in the car driving to Espanola for that rally was to see kids get saved. Amen. Was to see kids get saved. Our hearts cry our prayers when somebody's sick. Our hearts cry is to see them get better. Prayers are a cry of your heart. They're a cry of your heart. God heard David's prayer. God heard David's prayer because he was patient and obedient in waiting for the response. How many times does God answer, but we miss the answer because we weren't patient in waiting? How many times, how many prayers have you prayed where you've missed the answer because you weren't patient or willing to wait for the response? This situation rings so true for me. When I was coming out of high school, I had an opportunity where a school in the States was looking at presenting me a scholarship to play football. And I was a brand new Christian. And I went to God and I said, God, if you want me to go, then I want to be able to go. And in a second, my heart was like, you want to go anyway. This is what you want. This is what you've worked for. The last 5 years that you spent in high school, not intentionally, graduated in 4, went back, victory lap. The last 5 years of high school, everything that you've worked for is this opportunity for this scholarship. And my heart was like, you want it anyway. So I was like, okay. And I took that as God's answer. So I went ahead and I was like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I verbally committed to going to the school in the States to play football. The very next week, that was a Friday, the very next week, I tore my ACL playing football. And just like that, that entire dream was gone. They're not interested. As soon as you suffer something like that, as soon as you suffer an injury of that caliber, they're not interested. And my heart broke, and I went to God, and I went to all my friends at youth at a different church. And I said, why is this happening? And the pastor at that church, he's a really great guy. The pastor who was at that church at that time was like, are you sure that was God's answer? Don't miss what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God's going to intentionally injure you if you don't listen to what he says. But I am saying that sometimes God uses the bad for his glory. That sometimes God uses our pain and our suffering for his glory. Because the reality is, if I would have went off to that school, I wouldn't be here today. If I would have went off to that school, I wouldn't be married to Laura. If I would have went off to that school, I probably wouldn't have Zion. And probably not a second one on the way. I'm not saying that God uses the bad. I'm not saying that God's going to intentionally hurt you, but I am saying that he can use that hurt for his good. However, patience, when we look at patience, patience can reveal the fruits of hearing the voice of God. When we're patient with our prayers, when we're patient with our life with God, it can reveal the fruit of hearing his voice. Sometimes we miss out on the fruits because we're not paying attention. Sometimes we miss out on what he has for us because we're not paying attention. Hearing the voice of God is a fruit of patience. It's an offspring of patience. David acknowledges, and because he was patient, David acknowledges to God his thankfulness. He acknowledges his thankfulness for the fact that he has heard the voice of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think that when we don't hear the voice of God, our immediate response is the opposite of thankfulness. It's anger. I don't know what your personal opinion is on it, but you ever felt like you've been in a dry spell with your prayers? Where you're praying and praying and praying and you feel nothing. You feel like there's no answer. You ever been in a dry spell with your prayers? David was thankful. And because he was patient, he had the fruit of hearing the voice of God. When you're in a dry spell, can I just encourage you this morning, if you feel like you're in a dry spell with your prayer life, can I just encourage you for a second to just be patient and listen to what he has to actually say? Stop trying to rush the voice of God. Stop trying to rush what he wants to do. Stop trying to rush what he wants to teach you. And instead, we need to be like David, who was patient with God. How true is it that our faith is tested in the waiting periods? How true is it that our faith is tested in the waiting periods? If we look through Scripture, how many times can we find moments where people struggled in what came across as silence? How many times can we look through Scripture and find different stories or different moments in the Bible where it comes across as silence? It comes across where they feel like God's not answering them, or they're just moaning and groaning and complaining about everything that's going on around them. One of my favorite moments in Scripture is when the Israelites are in the desert. When the Israelites are in the desert and they're wandering and they're walking. And by this point, the people have started complaining to Moses. And they're like, Moses, I'm so bored. We've been walking in the same circle for 30 years. I'm so bored. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm tired. When are we going to be set free? You know, and it comes to this point where all the Israelites they go to their tent and Moses goes and he has a moment with God and he's like, God, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to be entrusted with all of these people. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this. He cries out to God and he says, Lord, why are you treating me this way? How many times in your prayer life when you feel like God doesn't answer, have you said something along the lines of, Lord, why are you treating me this way? Why am I silent? Why are you silent? Why can't I hear you? Why can't I hear you? Why can't I understand your voice? Why are you treating me this way? It's too hard. It's too hard. It's impossible. I'm telling you all of this to encourage you this morning that God's got you. That in whatever situation you're going through, in whatever situation that you might be in right now, if you're in a moment or a time in your life when you feel like, I don't know how to move forward, I don't know how to proceed, I don't know how to walk when I can't hear the voice, I'm just here to encourage somebody this morning to tell you that God is still there. That God is still there, that he's still with you, that we serve a God who never leaves you or forsakes you, even in the moments when you feel like you can't hear his voice. This leads me to this story when we were in Espanola. This leads me to this story. This little kid, this little girl who comes up to me and she says, Pastor Ty, I feel like I can't hear God. I feel like I don't hear his voice. I used to hear his voice, but I currently can't. And it came to this real moment where I kind of was just like, okay, let's talk about it. And she began to reveal all of this stuff that she was carrying and all of these things that she was holding on to and all of these moments that were burdening her and that she was too, like, she didn't want to talk about them. She didn't want to reveal it. She didn't want to. And I simply just said to her, and I was like, little girl, I'm not going to say her name, little girl, you need to take this stuff to God. You need to stop holding on to all of these things. Maybe God is trying to hear. Maybe God is trying to speak to you, but you're so distracted with everything that you're holding on to, with everything that you're burdening, that his voice has become quiet. This morning, are we holding on to things? Are we holding on to things that we shouldn't? Before you go and say, God's not there. No, God's always there. It's us who gets distracted from hearing his voice. It's us who gets distracted from hearing his voice. And the reality is that in whatever situation you're in, like I was saying, that God is always there. And I want to point out to you this morning from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 is Daniel in the lion's den. It's that super famous story of Daniel in the lion's den. When King Darius approaches and he puts out this decree that says that everybody in his area is supposed to follow and bow down and respect the rules that Darius has put in place. And Daniel's the one who's kind of like, no way. Goes against what God says. So King Darius sends these group of people to go and get Daniel, bring him back, and Darius is like, ha, I'll show him. I'll put him in a lion's den. That'll teach everybody who's not going to listen to me. And I really think that Daniel could have two responses to being put in the lion's den. He could have had the moment where he was like, God, why is this happening to me? What's going on? I was obedient. I was faithful. I was all of these things. I've done everything that you've asked me to. And yet here I am. Or Daniel could have had the response that he actually had. King Darius is like, good luck. Good luck in that lion's den. You know, let's see your God save you now. Let's see your God save you now. If he's real, surely he's going to come save you. King Darius, they roll the stone in front of the den. Darius goes home. He wakes up the next morning and he's like, let's go see what happened. So I like to imagine that Darius is like Usain Bolt sprinting for the lion's den. And he's like, and gets to the lion's den and he's like, roll it away. And they roll it away and Darius is like, Daniel, are you in there? And Daniel's like, yeah. Can you imagine Darius' response? What? No way. This is the kind of God that we serve. He is a God where there is no impossible. In the moments that you feel like you're facing the impossible, remember that you didn't survive a lion's den. If you did, I'd love to hear about it. But you didn't survive a lion's den. Or you're Jonah. Jonah has two propositions. The Lord comes to him and says, hey, I want you to go to the city. And Jonah's like, no thanks, not interested. And God's like, no, I'm telling you that you're supposed to go there. And Jonah's like, nope, not happening. And Jonah literally runs the other direction from God. He literally runs the opposite way from God. And even in the moments that he ran the opposite way, God was still there. It doesn't matter how far you think you can run. It doesn't matter how far away you think you can run from the gospel, from Jesus. He's still there. He follows you, and he's waiting for you to acknowledge that you need to come back to him. I happen to think that Jonah's punishment was a whole lot worse than Daniel's. God's like, Jonah gets on this boat, goes out in the middle of the water, and a big storm comes, and all the people on the boat are like, what's with the storm? Where did it come from? And Jonah's like, I think it's me. Yeah, he's like, I think it's me. And they're like, no, don't be silly. And he's like, no, seriously, I think it's me. And Jonah's like, literally, if you throw me overboard into the water, the storm's going to stop. They're like, no, it can't be Jonah. So they keep going on the boat. The storm's not stopping. And eventually, somebody on the boat's like, we got to ditch this guy. So they, 1, 2, 3, overboard with Jonah. And the storm stops. And Jonah gets swallowed by a fish. I hate, like, processed regurgitated food. Zion pukes and I'm like, I'm out. Zion poops, I'm usually out. But the truth is that I don't know if I could have fathomed living in the belly of the fish. And it's at that moment that Jonah's like, oh my gosh, I should have went where God said I should have. You know, where God told me to go. But God was still with Jonah in that belly. He was still with Jonah in that fish. It's in that moment that Jonah has his desperation prayer. It's in that moment that Jonah has that desperation prayer. Even when it seems like what we're facing is impossible, we certainly don't believe in a God who does think that it is. That's really confusing. Let's try again. Even when it seems like what we're facing is impossible, we certainly don't serve a God who believes that to be true. Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever you're going through this morning, can I just encourage you that if you think it's impossible, your God doesn't? If you think that it's impossible, your God certainly doesn't. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're challenged with. And the last story that I want to point out to you, one of my favorites, is in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16. It's the story of Paul and Silas and how they're sitting in prison. But before they get to prison, they're actually thrown in prison because they're evangelizing to a slave girl. And not only are they thrown in prison, but like they're beaten so badly so that even if they wanted to escape, they couldn't. And it comes to a point where God is, where they're sitting in their jail cell and they're worshiping God. They're singing songs of praise. They're praying prayers of praise for his goodness and his thankfulness, even though they're in jail. Even though they're in prison, they're praying these things. And that's in the moment. It's in that moment that even when it felt like they had nowhere to go, even when they were surrounded and entrapped in a jail cell, that they were praising God anyway. And it's in those moments that the prison walls begin to shake, that the doors fling wide open, that the jailman comes running to see what's happened. And he gets there and he's got his sword out and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, what is going on? What's going on? And he gets there and he's like, you know, they're sitting on the floor still worshiping and still praising. And he's like got his sword out and he's like ready to kill them because he thinks they're going to run away. And it's in that moment that Paul says, hey, don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. We're not going anywhere. And he's like, but what's happening? And the gentleman's like, what's happening? And it's in that moment that when they felt like it was impossible, that Jesus beat the impossible. That God beat the impossible in that situation. That he came to them. He spoke to them. And he said, hey, because you've been faithful, let me display my goodness to you. I really believe that that's what's happening there. In fact, I believe it so much to be true that the jailman comes to a point where he says, how do I be saved? The goodness of God in the unexpected or in the impossible moments. God can be and he is good in what feels like the impossible. And this morning, I think that Jesus wants more than anything, whether you view yourself as David or maybe as one of the other characters, someone who is patiently waiting for the Lord to answer a prayer. Jesus wants more than anything people who are going to be patient with him. He gave such a beautiful price. He paid such a beautiful price. Not for us to be anxious. Not for us to, think that he's a genie. Not for us to believe that he is always going to respond immediately, but he did all of that. Jesus did all of that so that he would have people who would love him and who would patiently wait for him to answer. I think in Acts, the coolest thing about that, in the story of Acts, the coolest thing about that is that they worship through the sufferings and the distress. That even in the moments that it felt like it was impossible, even in the moments that it felt like there was too much going on, they continued to worship God anyway. There's so many moments and so many stories where David's prayer is, God, I need you right now. Like, I think of Goliath. When he's standing on the battlefield with Goliath, I don't think he's patiently waiting for the Lord to respond. If he's patiently waiting for the Lord to respond, I don't know if we'd have a full book of Psalms. Because Goliath probably would have got there first. He probably would have got there first. But can you, my challenge to you this morning is, as a church, can you worship through the suffering and the distress? God wants nothing more than for me and for you, for us to learn to worship through the impossible, for us to learn to worship through the moments that come up as impossible. Patience and perseverance are stronger than complaining. Our patience with the Lord, our perseverance to worship him anyway, is stronger than complaining. When we're patient and waiting, like David was, we allow God to move in his perfect timing. That's the thing, is God's timing is perfect. Whether it's immediate, whether it's an immediate response or not, his timing is perfect in every situation. We serve a God of perfect timing. We serve a God of perfect timing. When we do these things, we allow and begin to see God working through us and for us. When we decide that we're going to live in his perfect timing, we begin to see how God is working through us and for us. We need to remember that God doesn't just do things through us, but he also does things for us. We need to remember that God doesn't just do things through us, but he also does things for us. And for some of us, we need to realize that. We need to go back to the point where we realize that, yes, absolutely, God wants to use you. He wants to move through you. But he doesn't just move through you. He also moves for you. He also moves for you. He also walks with you. He also is with you. He also is waiting there for you to acknowledge him. He is all of these things. And he does all of these things in his perfect timing. Can we submit today? Can we decide to be a church? Can we decide to be a church that's going to wait patiently for God? That's going to worship him anyway? That's the thing, is when we worship, when we pray, our prayer shouldn't stop when we get the answer. Our worship continues anyway. The reality is that there's times in my life when I've waited what felt like an eternity for him to answer. But you can still worship in your waiting. You can still worship in your waiting. When we worship, our faith increases and our fears decrease. When we worship, our faith increases. If you will continue to worship, if you will continue to press in, if you will continue to do all of these things while waiting for your answer, Your faith will increase. I believe that to be true. 100%. That your faith increases the more you worship. So when you're waiting for an answer, let's not be a church. Let's not be a body who's going to say, Ty, I prayed and I got nothing and now I'm mad. Or now what? Now what? I prayed. I said my prayer. I prayed my prayer for 3 months and I still feel like I've got nothing. You got to worship anyway. You got to worship anyway. You got to surrender anyway. You got to give him your life anyway. Not just in the good. He doesn't want a relationship where he only gets praised when he does something for us. We need to be in a relationship with God. We need to be in a relationship with God where we're going to pray anyway, where we're going to worship anyway. And I think that's what we've come to this morning. Is maybe this morning you're here, maybe you're sitting here this morning, and the reality is that you're in this situation. You're in this situation. The Bible encourages us to wait patiently for the Lord. The scriptures encourage us to wait patiently for him. And if you're in a place this morning where you're feeling like you are missing out, where you're feeling like he hasn't answered, I've just come this morning simply to encourage you that he's here anyway, that he's there with you anyway, that he's where you are anyway. And in his timing, in his perfect timing, he does respond. He's not a God of unanswered prayers. We don't serve a God of unanswered prayers. God is a God who answers our prayer. God is a God who hears our cry. God is a God who poured out his life for you. Certainly, he wouldn't have poured out his life for you to not answer you in your time of need. Certainly, he wouldn't have poured out his life. He wouldn't have died on a cross much like that one to not hear you in your time of need. He wants us to be people of prayer. But when we're people of prayer, let's not be discouraged when he doesn't answer right away. Let's not be discouraged when he doesn't answer right away. And if that's you this morning, I just want to give you a chance to just spend some time in prayer. Spend some time here in worship. Let's worship him anyway. Your answer will come. I believe that to be true. Your answer will come. It will happen. You will see it happen. Because he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness kind of God. And if he's a promise keeper, then he says, cast your cares upon me. Cast your burdens upon me. Leave them at the feet of Jesus. Leave them at the feet of Jesus. Surrender what you have to me so that I can pour out blessing into you. So that I can pour out blessing into you. And this morning, I think that maybe we just need to take some time to say whether or not you've got your answer anyway. Let's decide to be a church who's going to worship through our difficulties, who's going to worship through the moments that seem tough, who's going to worship through what we deem is impossible. Can we do that? Let's just have some quiet time up here. I'll invite you to just come if you want to come tonight, this morning, sorry. If you want to come this morning and just worship him anyway, let's do that. Let's make this a place where we can worship anyway. If you're here this morning and you feel like you need somebody to pray for you, then let's come up here and let's receive the prayer. Let's cast our cares and our burdens upon him. Let's make it true that when we come to the foot of Jesus, we don't take our garbage back. Let's make it true that he's in the business of turning our burdens and our baggage into glory. This morning, let's just have a time where we can come to the altar tonight, this morning, where we can spend time in the presence of Jesus. If Jonah can spend time with God in the belly of a fish, if Jonah can praise God from the belly of the fish, if Daniel can praise God in a lion's den, if David can patiently wait for the Lord, if Paul and Silas can worship from jail, surely we can freely worship here. Surely we can freely worship here in this church. So come on, I'm going to pray, and if that's you, I'll just invite you to come at the end of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for this morning, Father. I thank you for the real truth that you want us to be people of patience, people who are going to wait for you, God. Father, I thank you that you're not a genie, God, that you do everything in perfect timing, Lord. Father, I thank you that you teach us that we can worship through our pain, that we can worship through our suffering, that we can worship through the impossible. We pray all of these things in your most holy name. Amen.